Jimmy doesn't make it easy to come behind him, does he? That's one thing I have come to appreciate is music. I grew up at the beach, and as you know, beach music is about the only thing we had down there, and that's the only thing I ever learned, and I didn't think there was anything besides that. Then when I came to Bluefield College, I heard about this country and bluegrass, and then my wife was taking voice lessons, and then we heard about this Latin and German stuff and this opera stuff, and next thing she blinked them eyes and said, "You are coming to the concert, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, I guess I'll have to if I'm in love." But I have learned to appreciate it, and I enjoy good music, and when it is done well, it touches. And so we are very blessed to have the ones that are committed to that. Also, it's good to have each one of you here. We do need to invite people. Our goal is to bring people in to hear the word of Jesus Christ, to sing, to serve, to seek out, and to find out what their gifts are. We come in here in order to send out. And as we look at that this morning, we think of the title, Building Bridges, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you'll turn to there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll see what Paul has to write in verses 16 through 23. First Corinthians chapter 9, we'll back up to verse 15 when Paul writes, "But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have rewards. If not involuntary, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of any rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." May God add a blessing upon this reading. As we look at this passage of Scripture, as we think about it, we think about building bridges. Now, I love when I go riding, especially now, going across bridges. Once I became unafraid of heights to some extent, there are some bridges I have dared to actually ride on now. Like the one outside of Boone, North Carolina, that hangs on the side of the mountain. The first time I rode it, unfortunately, I had to ride it from north to south, which meant that I was out hanging far out. My wife was on the motorcycle behind me, and she was wanting me to get closer to the edge so she could see over, and I was hugging that yellow line just about as close as I could. But after we got across there, we pulled over to the next lookout and we walked back so that we could look up underneath how they had built that bridge. And as we think about that, we see that there are all kinds. I like the old covered bridges too, you know, the way that they built those and everything. And as you study and look at the history of bridges throughout, it's amazing what they can do. They have built big ones, small ones, and they all function basically the same to get you from one point to the other point without having to go down or whatever. It helps you to get from point A to point B. Now, I like that because I'm the type that when I visit, when I go somewhere, I want to get from point A to point B. My kids were really good when we traveled because that was the point. They would get in the back seat and they would read because the new dad was going from point A to point B with very minimal stops. So as you look at this, this is what it does. It gets you from point A to point B. And as we look at it, it just boggles your mind how they can build these bridges. I mean, the one in West Virginia is just unreal. It goes from point A to point B. There's no stands that go down. They can't go that far down, can they? When we were in Alaska, I was very fortunate there again. We went up the mountain, which means we hugged the mountain. But as we were hugging up the mountain, you could look up ahead and you could see the bridge that we were going to have to go across. And of course, my thinking was, oh no, I've got to cross that bridge. My wife gets over to the far side and she's hanging out taking pictures, you know, and I thought, everybody's hanging that side. I'm going to play it smart. I'm going to hang on the other side, really because I was scared. But I took pictures on this side, and when they were talking about their pictures, I said, but I got pictures over here. I didn't want to. I didn't trust it enough. Yes, it was built. I remember we had a roller coaster when I was a teenager over in Ocean View Park, and they condemned it, said it was not worthy to ride. A few years later, they decided to make a movie. And in the part of that movie, it was in an amusement park, and they were going to blow up the roller coaster. So they got the scene all set up, and we were sitting there, and they let us all come in and watch in certain areas and whatnot. And as we were watching this, as they prepared it that week, they put strategically dynamite to blow this up. And it had bridges. It had wood constructions put here and there, bolted, and all of this. And so when that part came, the guy hit the button, and nothing. It blew up, but it stayed. It did not fall. It took them 3 attempts before that bridge of roller coaster, that mesh of wood and all of that, came apart. So you see, when it is built worthy, it will sustain all things, weather and all of these other things. And as we think about that, we think about all the planning that went into making a bridge, all the expense that it is for concrete, for wood, and all these other things. We think about all of the engineers that designed it. I mean, somebody had to be great. They must have spent a lot of time in classes drawing things in order to come up with it. But as we think about that, I want us tonight, this morning, to think about the builders that we are here at this church. There are people in this world, there are people in this community that are lost, and they need a bridge that are taking them from their life, and they need a bridge that will bring them over to a side that will give them light, life eternal. And so this morning I want us to think on building bridges. And as we build these bridges this morning, I want us to share about 3 things that will help us to understand how we can build bridges. They're not going to build bridges to us. We have to build bridges to them. And as we do that, how do we go about doing that? And as we do, the first thing I want us to see in this is, number one, is who needs a bridge? As we think about that, we see the lost need a bridge. And that's probably the most simple one and the one that we understand the most. Those that are not Christians need a bridge, don't they? They need a bridge. We know that the Bible declares that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We're short. We sin. And we are not going to do everything that pleases God. In fact, we don't even do everything that pleases each other, do we? We get mad at one another. We get our feelings hurt, and we see things that happen. And so we all understand that Scripture teaches us that the lost are blinded, and they need to see the truth. The disconnected believer needs the bridge. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." There are many reasons. As we talk about the disconnected, I remember being in a church one time, and I kind of jokingly said, I'm starting a Sunday school class for misfits, the disconnected. They had nowhere to be. And if you'll ever notice in any kind of group that gets together, there's always little subgroups. And have you ever walked in one and everybody's sitting there talking, and you walk up to it and all of a sudden they get quiet and you kind of feel like you could find a hole to crawl into? This is what we're talking when we talk about disconnects. We see that these disconnected people, misfits sometimes, don't feel like they're there, that they're part of the church, but they're not part of the church. And we see people that are Christians that don't participate in things, that don't sit. When the last church I was in, when we had meals together, I would always wait to be last, and you'll see that I will always be last here too when we eat on Wednesday nights. The purpose of that is simply this. I look around as the last person coming through to see who was sitting by themselves. And if I see you sitting by yourself, now this will change next week, I guarantee it. If I see you sitting by yourself, then I'm going to come over and ask you if I can sit down and eat with you. So now next week I know I won't find any empty tables, right? Or just one or two. And if they do, they're going to say, oh no, the preacher's coming. There you go. So anyhow, that's what I try to do, is to sit down. We need to come together. We're a family. And as family, we need to love one another and help one another. And that we need to work together. But we see that there are some people that have moved into the area that are Christians but maybe haven't got involved in church. You may meet them at school, at work, wherever you may be. They need to be connected to something. And we see that regardless of these reasons, they are disconnected from church. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We see this morning that the hurting church member needs a bridge. There's not a person here that can't say, I don't have a single problem, is there? We have all kinds of problems going on in our families today. We have people, we have family members that are lost, that are not saved. We've got people that are on drugs. We've got family that may be alcoholics. We have families that are dealing with divorces or whatever it may be. There is all kinds of trouble going on. There are all kinds of people hurting. As Christians, when we hurt, at least we have God and we have other family members, and we can take this bulletin and we can sit down and we can list those that we won't have prayer requests. But there are people in this world today that don't have anybody. They don't know which way to turn. Have you ever heard of somebody that committed suicide? Why did they do it? Life has got them down, and they think that it's the end of the world. They have no one to turn to. Nobody to care for them. And so therefore it is easier to do what? Commit suicide. You ever thought about that? I'm not one in psychology, but I have taken a few classes in it and I have studied a little bit. And yet those that do that are constantly sending red flags, aren't they? They don't really want to do that. They need help. They want help, but they don't know where to look for it. They don't know where to find it at. And so we see that people are hurting, and we live in a real world. It's not a fantasy world. I had a lady that I went to high school with. She married a preacher. And, of course, I wasn't the perfect little angel in high school, and she knew that. But when I had the interview for them to come as a minister of education and youth, I thought, oh, my gracious, my reputation is coming before me. But, you know, she lived in a bubble. She lived in a bubble. She thought everything was lovely. Everything was great. She didn't see any problems of this world until she started teaching in an elementary school right down from the church. And it was noted, that neighborhood was noted for drugs and everything else. And she ended up there. And it wasn't quite a day before her bubble got busted. She realized people are hurting. People are doing things that she didn't know about. They could do it right in front of her, and she didn't know it because she lived in a make-believe world. Folks, we cannot just say as Christians that everything is okay. There are people out here in this world that are hurting, and sometimes that hurt keeps them from moving forward. We get bogged down. How about church members? I've just been going over the roll. We have 200 active members in this church. I don't see 200, do you? And I doubt if I'm going to see 200 at 11 o'clock either. Where are they? Then we have over 200 inactive members. Means they haven't been in quite a while. Why have they not come? Why did they quit coming? I'd say 85% of them quit coming because their feelings got hurt. And I'm not saying that in an ugly way. But they quit coming. Well, if that's the way they're going to be, I'm not going to come. And nobody knew their feelings were hurt, so nobody went to see them to talk with them. And so we see that people are hurting all the time. And so we need to build that bridge that will bring them back together, closer. my family on my mother's side did exactly that thing over land. Inheritance are great if there's none there. But if you've got something to divide up, what's going to happen? It ends up in a fight, doesn't it? And that's what happened. Out of my mother's family, there were eight of them. All eight of them ended up not speaking to each other because their father had left them land and divided it up equally. The only problem was one of my uncles lived on the farm. He was using all of the land and not paying any rent to any of the other family members. Well, then when some of the family members wanted their land, they couldn't decide. Well, you need to get the wood because I need this to farm with. And so they couldn't decide. And unfortunately, it went to court. And the judge ended up deciding who would get what. And after that, nobody spoke. It was years, years before they started mending and mending. And some of it was right at the very end. The uncle that lived on the farm, just before he died, all the girls, my mother and her sisters, finally reconciled with him. And they made peace for just a little bit. But it takes that bridge, doesn't it, to come across. And it's hard sometimes to build that bridge. And we see that we can only do it through Jesus. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Wow. That doesn't go with today's society, does it? Today's society is me first. Me first. Once I take care of me, then I might worry about somebody else, right? That's the society. If you want to be successful in businesses, you have to step on people. You have to hurt people. You have to not care about anybody but yourself if you want to be on the top. If you want to become the CEO, you have to do that. That's today's society. And if you do something for somebody, you do it with the concept of, if I do this for you, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? What if Jesus had looked at his disciples, looked at everybody else and said, if I'm going to die on the cross, what am I going to get out of it? He didn't get anything out of it, did he? He gave it all. He took nothing. He took nothing. He left his heavenly home and he came down on this earth and he mixed upon sinners and he died for sinners, each and every one of us, that we may eventually go to him. Eternal life. So you see, he built that bridge. The second thing we want to see this morning is the call to be bridge builders. Our motivation is to recognize the need. Look out in this community. What is the needs? Look in this church and what is the needs? Sometimes we hate that, don't we? Evaluations. We hate to evaluate, don't we? But we have to. In order to evaluate, we have to evaluate to understand. Proverbs puts it this way, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I've seen that happen. I know it works. I know it's true. I've seen churches that have lost their visions and shut their doors, boarded them up, and put for sale signs out there. And I've seen other types of businesses come into where churches used to be. So we need to have a vision, don't we? If we don't, we'll see that it perishes. We may wind up building barriers instead of bridges. Have you ever gone down the highway and they put all these barriers up and you have to get out of your left-hand lane and get into your right hand or the other, and the only way you can do that is because those barriers are there to protect you? I know there are several of us that like to hang out as long as we can, don't we, before we've got to get over. Pass as many cars, but eventually you've got to do what? Those barriers make you get over. Barriers are things that keep people from coming to church. Barriers are things that keep people from knowing Jesus Christ. We see people today that look at it this way. Well, if those kinds of people down there at Withville are like that, they're just a bunch of hypocrites, and I'm not going to church with a bunch of hypocrites. You ever heard that? Well, look at them people. I'm not going to go there because of those people and the attitude they look. I thought they were Christians. We need to take the barriers and pull them down. We need to get rid of them. And we need to see that there is a great gulf between darkness and life, between eternal life and eternal death. One of these days, you're going to end up one place or the other. You're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And God has given us the choice. Which one do you want? You ever go to a restaurant? Takes you a half hour to decide which one, especially if there's more than one. See, in Richlands, we didn't have to worry about that because we only had one. Then they had another one come in, and then they had to make a choice. You had to make a decision. And then when you get into the restaurant, they come up there and say, what would you like to have? And you look at this menu, and well, I don't know. Well, would you like for me to come back? Please do. You come back. Have you made up your mind? Well, I'm still looking. Why? But you can't make up your mind. Then you look and it says you get two vegetables. And they say, well, what do you want? Well, I don't know. Why not? I have to make a decision. What do I want? People are making decisions every day, folks, to serve God or to serve Satan. There's no in between. He puts it this way. You're either for me or you're against me. No fence straddlers. You can't jump over this side and over this side, back and forth. You can't be an undercover agent or a secret agent. You have to make a choice this day. Paul says, "Whom?" Or Isaiah said, Jeremiah said, "Whom am I to serve? As for me, I will serve the Lord." He let Israel know, you choose who you want to choose today. But for me, I will serve God. I will serve God Almighty. And that's what we need to do. We need to choose this day who we're going to do. And if we do, then we are called to become bridge builders. And it is our ability, and we are available. We are reminded that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Playing piano, singing, ringing the bells, preaching, teaching. We can do anything that God wants us to do because He says, I will give it to you and I will give you the power to do it and I will be there with you. So therefore, I can do all things. Isn't that great? To know that we have that kind of victory today, it's a victory. I can do anything. Now, not just anything I want to do, but anything God wants me to do. If He says, I want you to get up and I want you to go do this, then you need to be willing to do it. Knowing that He will take care of it. We can do all things. Do we believe it this morning? Do you really believe that? That you can do anything that God wants you to do this morning? Do you believe it? Do you live like you believe it? Do people look at you and say, wow, look at that life. What kind of life do you have? Tell me about it. Do we tap into the power source that we use, that God has given us? Isn't it great to know that anytime with phones today, and especially smartphones, you use them and you have to plug them in and charge them 2 and 3 times a day. Isn't it great to know that you can take that plug it in the socket there, and to know what? Electricity is going to come out and charge that phone. You know it, right? Isn't it great to know that we have God, prayer, that we plug into prayer, and God is going to charge us up each and every day, 2 and 3 times, 4 times a day, whatever is needed. Paul says to pray without ceasing. And when we do, we can be charged every day. And when we do, we can begin to cross those bridges. In order to build a bridge, there must be a solid contact made. I'm afraid that we've forgotten about the lost. We're not as concerned as we used to be. It doesn't mean that we see that people are hurting, but it doesn't really bother us. Now, when I saw the shoeboxes last year, there was one that touched me more than anything else. Not for me to give that, and I love giving to the shoeboxes, don't get me wrong. But this little girl was walking to school, and she was shoes that were tied together with wire and shoestrings and everything else. No socks and everything else. And these kids came up real excited, running, and said, you need to come on, hurry up. And she was mad. She was embarrassed because of her shoes. She finally went to where they were, and they were giving out these shoe boxes. She got one, and she went to the side. She sat down, and she opened it up. You know what was inside? A brand new pair of white tennis shoes. And guess what? It was her size. How do you explain that? Oh, that's just coincidence, right? No, it's God. That young girl from that day made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And she's been serving him ever since. She has since come to the United States, and she is married now, and she takes her kids, and they do shoeboxes, and they go every year back to her country, to her town, and help deliver and give out those shoeboxes. She believes in the power of God. You see how she's building bridges? You see how bridges are being built? And then the third thing we want to see, bridge builders must change themselves before they can build any bridges. As we think about this, what must not change to be a bridge builder? Some have suggested that we must change our doctrine. We have seen that we have tried to change worship services. What is right? What is wrong? I dare say that none of the worship that we're doing in this world today is even close to what the Israelites did with God leading them. Do you use instruments? Do you not use? What kind of instruments do you do? How do you worship God? In the days of the Israelites, they had no scriptures. They had the priest, and he would read, and they would learn to quote the Shema. And that's how they did it. They listened oral, but they saw God. And when he led them, he was there where they could be led. But we must not change our doctrines. You've heard people say, you Baptists, you're always so right that you leave no room for others. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes we walk around with our head up, and I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, or whatever. Look at me. Well, look at you. God says you're still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. The only difference between us, I'm a saved sinner. And those out there are lost sinners. But we're all sinners. If we water down this book, if we take it and water it down and try to make it less than what it is, the power of God, then we will see, as we have seen already, two generations of people that are not educated in the scriptures. Two generations, and we're working on a third generation. Can you believe that there are children today that don't know about Noah? They don't know about any of the stories that we learned when we were growing up. In the last church I was in, I told the kids' church director, I said, Karen, I want you to teach the stories in the Old Testament. I want you to make it exciting as you can. You use puppets, final graph, overhead projectors. I don't care what you use, but you tell them that story about the Old Testament, of Noah and all of them, Jonah and all of them, because they don't know it. And so we need to bridge so that they can hear it. Methods will change, but the methodology, the message, will never change. We can do praise hymns, we can have guitars, drums, we can have organs, we can have handbells, we can have interpreted dances, we can have any of that. That's the difference in methods. But the message will never change. And that is one thing that we need to take a stand on. We can decide, do we want to have this or that or the other, but the one thing we will not change is the way we believe in God. Look at our text. Paul says he was willing to be all things to all men. Why? Our United States, when it was first formed, those pilgrims helped one another. Today we see a group that helps one another. We go up there and we see them up in Philadelphia. We see them up in Ohio. We see them riding in little carriages with horse-drawn buggies, don't we? And to this day, guess what they do? They work together. They help one another. And we see them as different and odd. Why? Because we don't do that. And that's what God has called us to do, is we come together to be all things to all men. As you look out in this community, there are so many needs in this community, aren't there? There are needs. And as a church that believes in Jesus Christ, as a church that believes in the scriptures that said that we are to go out, what do? We need to identify those needs that we might share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And if he was willing, then shouldn't we be willing? What must change? We must change. Sometimes we get stuck in our ways. I used to think my dad was the coolest dad when I was growing up. I mean, he was just a cool dad. When I got into cars and racing and everything, my dad would jump right out there and he'd help me rebuild that engine. He'd help me get it all back together. And there's a few times that he'd burn rubber right up in the driveway. And I thought he was the coolest dad there ever was. Today, my dad's an old stick in the mud. What happened? He got stuck and he doesn't want to change. And all I hear about is our church at home and the way they're changing and how he doesn't like it. So finally, one day I looked at him and I said, "Dad, if you don't like the change, why are you still going there? Why don't you find somewhere else to go? That's my home church. That's where I grew up. That's where you grew up." I said, "Well, it doesn't matter. Things are changing in this world. And we can change some of the messages, methods, but not the message. And we need to develop a servant spirit, serving one another." Can you imagine Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, getting down on his hands and knees with a pot of water, washing dirty feet? And you know as well as I do, in those days, you had probably no shoes, and if you did, they were sandals. And in that area, it was dirt and dusty. And you know what happens with all of that. You ever come in with your feet completely black, and the first thing your parents say, your mom especially, "Wash them feet before you come in." That's why they put outside spigots, you know that, on houses, don't you? Not to water the grass, but to clean our feet before we came in. That's all I knew about. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed dirty feet. Can you believe that? King of Kings and Lord of Lords doing something like that? But that is what we're talking about. And we must be willing to make a sacrifice to build a bridge. A popular word around Christian circles is outreach. Outreach. We've heard that. The 50s and the 60s especially. I heard it as a child. Outreach. We know what outreach is, don't we? No, we don't. Because if we knew what outreach really was, wouldn't we be doing it? For us to have a ministry that reaches out, we must be willing to do the reaching. We must reach out. We're starting some things in this church already. And if there's something that hasn't been started and the Lord has laid it on your heart, you need to share it. Some of the men got together and they went and cut wood and carried it to home, looking for needs to help people in this community. We can do all things. We can look around and see what needs to be done. There's the clothing center. There's the food center here. There are all kinds of ministries that we can help in and become part of. And to do that, in Richlands, I walked into the bank one day, Angie and I did, and this guy spoke to me and said, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" Angie said, "Who's that?" I said, "I don't know. I recognized the face, but I couldn't put a name to it." We sat in the car there for a minute, got ready to go out, and while I was waiting, it dawned on me. He's one of those persons that went through the line at the food pantry. And we gave them food. And I had gotten to see him and started talking with him. And he came one day and he says, "I got a problem. I need to pray." And we took him back to the prayer room and had prayer with him. That's how I knew him. You see, meeting needs will help you to meet people. And when you meet people, it helps you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul made it clear. We're to be all things. I will say this till I'm blue in the face. God has given each one of us at least one gift, one talent that he wants us to use for him. Can you imagine if the whole church began to use that gift that each one has, what this community would look like? You talk about a revival, spiritual renewal, it will happen. Paul made it very clear it wasn't an option. We're to do it. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." And then he continues in 17b, he says, "I am simply discharging the trust committed to me." And as I think about that this morning, I am simply discharging the trust. Now, where does that trust come from? God is trusting me with this gift. Wow. Think about that. Think about that. God is trusting me with this gift. What am I doing with it? That's awesome, isn't it? God is trusting me? Ask yourself that. Is God trusting you? Yes, He is. Now, if He's trusting you, what are you doing with it? Are you using it? Or have you gone out in the backyard and buried it like one man did? It's your choice. Many need a bridge. We are called to become bridge builders. And the question this morning is, are we willing to change? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and this opportunity to once again to look into your word. And we pray that we, each one of us this morning, will become bridge builders, Lord, that we will see the vision as a church, that we work together in one accord, that we will keep our eyes focused upon you. Thank you for this privilege and honor that we have this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.